following message by Pastor Jim Whitfield was recorded live at Eagles Nest Christian Fellowship of Raleigh, North Carolina. Feel free to open your Bible and join with us for this teaching from the Word of God.
Let all the people know that come, that Wednesday night is just not just for school people, it's for everybody. Amen. It's just those that are a part of the school, the Bible college, that are getting credit because they're paying the price and other things. And also all deacons, all ushers, all wannabe ushers or wannabe deacons have to be at the class on Saturday mornings, and especially mine. And mine starts at 11. But if you want red hot teaching, then you need to be at 10, Brother Lindsay.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I heard them all in there laughing last Saturday morning. The time I got in there, I was a letdown to them. I thought, well, my goodness. Amen. Well, when you deal with these subjects that I deal with sometimes, people don't shout, but it's good for you. With that in mind, let's go look at our checklist in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. There is a checklist there that'll help you get yourself right, ready, and to be used by God, in line with God. And if we'll look at it, the Bible is written to us to get our thinking straightened out. Amen. Amen. And so it tells us what to do. And then we ought to be doing what it says do. I like feedback when I preach, when I ask questions and things like that. That was a good place to say amen.
Amen.
Everybody missed it right there. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren. All right, so he's talking to the church, isn't he? To know them which labor among you. Well, I know a few here to labor. The rest of them done suked out. Their soul. We're going to talk about that tonight. To know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. And admonish you. You ought to know us. You ought to know me. Am I over you in the Lord? Huh? Well, that preacher not going to tell me what to do. Well, just go to hell then, all right? That kind of attitude, I doubt if it'll make it into heaven.
Amen.
I said, I doubt that attitude will make it into heaven.
Amen.
Know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and those who admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And to esteem them very highly. Not just highly, not just esteem, very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Unruly. They're not ruled by anybody. They're unruly. They're like, here's what you got to do. Man, you just take this. You ever seen these little bolts and nuts and things? You got a bolt and you got a nut. Take that little nut and just used to have a carburetor, you know, and just drop it down that carburetor. Let it get on down there and those go through those ports. The valves kind of open there. Maybe it'll intake valve and it'll fall down among that piston. And watch what it does to that engine. It'll tear it all to pieces. These are unruly people. We live in unruly times among an unruly nation. They have no respect for authority. They despise dignitaries and do not esteem the ministry very highly. Now here's a checklist for you. Are you listening to me? We exhort you, brethren, warn them of unruly. That's amazing. Or disorderly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good and abstain from all appearance of evil. I'd say that's a pretty good checklist, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
How many of you are going by everything that's in there? Well, maybe we should just stop and not have class tonight. We'll just all repent for an hour. Huh? So I haven't done my job. I haven't warned the unruly enough. I haven't admonished you enough. Amen. These are things that need to be done. I believe if you get all these things here, what I'm doing, just follow. If you just make you a checklist right there and keep that with you every day and read through those scriptures, then I think verse 23 and 24 will work for you. And the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So if you fulfill that checklist right there, I do my part, you do your part there. I'll tell you, we'll stay in right graces with God. Amen. Things will happen in our lives. Doors will open in our lives. Amen. Good doors will open. And those that others have tried to shut, God will open them up for us. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Holy. Now, I said right from the beginning, he can't stress this enough, that he's talking about wholly. So he's talking about whole spirit, whole soul, and whole body. All three parts of man preserved blameless, kept, preserved. Something that's preserved is something that's kept. Right? Preserves. We used to make preserves, put them in a jar, and they've done all things. Then they're kept in, you keep them in a jar a long time, still the same. Take them out, supposed to taste the same, right? Be good. All right, God wants to preserve. God will preserve us blameless. Blameless in our spirit, blameless in our soul, and blameless in our body. That is when we get sanctified holy in our spirit. And most people, like we said, they think, well, now, you know, I got saved, and but you know, I just got to sin, and I can't control all of these evil things that are going on in my life. I got to sin somehow. You know, I just got to sin. But that's not true. Not according to this. Because if we do sin, then we are blamed, aren't we? To be blamed. We're not blameless, are we? And sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit, whole soul, whole body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you also will do it. Now, we said right up front, right from the beginning, that the spirit and the soul are not the same. No more than the soul and the body are the same, or the spirit and the body are the same. They are distinct, separate. He mentions all three parts right there. If they were the same, he'd have just said whole spirit. If they were the same, he'd have just said whole soul. You know, had no need to separate them there. He distinctly separated them. They're closely related to one another. But men mix them up because men do not rightly divide the word of truth, the word of God. And the only place that you'll ever find that there is a division that distinctly separates them, the only book on this earth, like we said before, is the Bible. It's the only one that mentions spirit, soul, and body. Now, like we said before, men have always said, well, there's a spirit, we know that, and scientists have said there's something else, or there's a soul, and then a conscious, they call it, and then there's a subconscious, there's something else, that we don't know what it is, but you see, the Bible divides it. Amen. Now, and we know that because of Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder. Merismos is the Greek word, dividing asunder. That's the only time that word is ever used in the Bible, in Hebrews 4:12. Merismos, dividing asunder of spirit and soul and joints and marrow. So unless we get in the Bible, man's never going to be able to divide it, rightly divide it. Man's never going to know who he is. He's always going to be confused. He's always going to be in confusion. He's not going to know what spirit, what soul, and what body. And then if the church doesn't get in, and we don't teach the church this, then they're not going to know what spirit, what soul, and what body. And then they're going to fall into the trap, like so many have, and end up in religion. Just pure religion. And over into mind religion, and over into things like that, and over into reason religion, and in failure all the time. But we get into Bible, we'll find out we are a spirit, we have a soul, God is a spirit, he has a soul, and I believe he has a body. And we're a throne just like God. We're made to be in his image. Now, when it comes to the body of man, the body of man can be killed. But and it will turn, actually it will change, it will decay. It's really still there. If you burn it up, it's still there, it's just in a different form. It's in gases somewhere. But it's still there, and God's going to suck all those gases back together at the end. And put that, isn't that going to be something? Those that were cremated, they got the ashes, but you still got to have all the gases. Amen. And he knows where all of it is. Wow. That only God can do that. And then, but you know, you can kill the body, but you can't kill the spirit. You can't kill the soul. Only God can destroy them. Now go over to Matthew chapter, I believe it's chapter 10. Look at a verse of scripture here. Matthew 10 and verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So now there's always going to be an existence. You're going to exist on somewhere in some fashion. Now the soul of man, as we're going to deal with tonight, is not the brain. You'll notice that there are people that have strokes, and a lot of times when it comes to a stroke, it does affect their brain. Maybe one side of their brain shuts down. I'm told that if this side has a stroke, it affects this side of the body. I don't know if that's true. I'm not a doctor. But you know, then they may be what they refer to as brain dead. But your soul encompasses your brain, your mind, but your soul is not your brain. Even though that the brain is not functioning, the soul is still there. But also at the same time, because I told you that the soul and the spirit are closely related to one another, if the soul is incapacitated in any way, then the spirit man is helpless on this earth because he has to have it. This earth is run basically through the soulish realm. The soul is the computer of this world. And so they're tied together real closely there. So a person has a stroke, you just can't do it. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. I believe Jesus has a whole soul. I believe Jesus has a strong mind. The Spirit says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Amen. And I don't think we ever should go off the beam. Now, what makes a mind sound or makes a soul sound or mind strong is the contents of the mind. What is in the mind determines whether the mind is good or the mind is evil. Now, if you remember in Romans chapter 1, God tells us that he turned him over to a reprobate mind. The purpose that the reason that the mind is reprobate is because of what's in it. Are you listening to me here? Some people have, if they have an evil mind, then they have what the Bible refers to as the mind of the flesh. Then others have the mind of the spirit. A mind is corrupt because of its contents. Now the soul is referred to as the psuche, that's the Greek word, encompasses the mind. W. Vine says about the soul that it is the seat of personality. It is that part of man by which he perceives, reflects, feels, desires. Now, I don't agree. I believe perception comes out of the spirit. Paul perceived in his spirit, the Bible says. It is the seat of will and purpose. Your will is there. Your emotions is in there. It is the seat of appetite. Generally speaking, the spirit is the higher. The soul is the lower element. The spirit may be recognized as the life principle bestowed on man by God. The soul of man is what reflects that spirit of man or that nature of man. The relationship between the spirit and the soul and the body may be summed up this way. The soma or the body and the pneuma, which is the spirit, may be separated. That's clear in it. The pneuma and the soul will never be disconnected, but they can be only distinguished between the two. But they'll always be together throughout eternity. Man's spirit will have a soul. He may not be in his physical body, but he will have his soul, his mind, his will, his intellect, his emotions. Now, what we need to do, if you look at the fact that a soul of man is the emotions of man, then you can see how so much in the church that the church is run by the soul of man instead of the spirit of man, because we see emotional religion. We see people controlled by their soul. You can see the aspects of their will and their emotion. Everybody's got a will, and we said that we can't allow the soul to rule because everybody's got a will of their own. And then if we decided to have a free-for-all, then everybody here's got a will of their own. We'll have just chaos, won't we? Well, how about there's some people that are just emotional. They just get carried away. It's because their soul man, their mind, has not been sanctified wholly. And that's what we're going to talk about here. Amen. Y'all out there, you with me tonight? The soul operates this world is a computer. Now, an outlaw, if you look in the outline, I say it like this, an outlaw or the devil was thrown out of heaven. Now, this is something that I believe, if you look at it, he operates mostly on this earth through the minds of men. When he was cast out of heaven, he evidently lost a lot of spiritual authority. He has no spiritual authority over you, even though when Jesus was on this earth, he exercised spiritual authority over spirit, soul, and body, didn't he? But Satan is the one that's out walking around seeking whom he may devour. So if he had spiritual authority over us, I'm sure he would endeavor to exercise that authority. Especially since, like I said before, we got what he wanted. We got the right hand of God. We got the throne. We were raised, quickened, and seated together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, won't we? So he has to work. Now, him and his demons and his evil spirits has to influence people through their mind. So here he is on this earth. You remember over there in 2 Corinthians 4:4? It talks about the God of this world. What did he say that he's done? Hath blinded the what? Hath blinded the minds of them, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. So what he is endeavoring to do here today in this world is to keep everybody in the soulish arena, and when it comes to the church, to get us only in mind religion. To where we reason everything out. We figure everything out. And if nothing is left with a definite answer, we assume everything out. I mean, have you had somebody tell you never assume anything? All right. Hallelujah. Okay. He's blinded the minds, lest the light should shine to them. He is the soulish God. The Greek word for psyche, we get our English word psycho or psychologist. Or psychoanalyst, which is nothing more than a mind analyst. They deal with the mind, the emotions, and the will of man. Why does man choose evil or man choose good? It is through the soul. Evil he will choose if he's sensual, if he has the mind of the flesh. Even if you're a Christian. Now, Satan gets into the psyche and he acts like God. Man don't know how to divide soul and spirit, so the next thing that shows up is a counterfeit, and they call it religion. And it's nothing more than the mind. Man gets mind religion. Now go to Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 6 here, I think it is. Romans 8. Who's got the Amplified Bible? Anybody got it with them? Let me see. All right. Let me just read to you the King James. Romans 8, verse 6. Let's start verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind. Do mind the things of the flesh. So if you are ruled by your mind, you're going to yield to the dictates of the flesh or of the body. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, we have a choice. We can choose to follow out the flesh, or we can choose to follow out the Spirit. We can choose to have our mind filled with the flesh, or our mind filled with the Spirit. Now, if you're going to fill it with the Spirit, you're going to have to fill your mind with the Word, aren't you? Now, if you don't fill your mind with the Word, I can tell you that the devil's going to fill it with the flesh. Every time. For to be carnally minded is what? But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amplified says soul peace. I like that. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, let me see the Amplified. Listen to this. I think I have this in the outlines, but I give you everything you need to preach. Amen. Listen carefully here. Now, the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason, without the spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin. See, it doesn't make any difference whether you're a Christian or not. Mm-hmm. If you take the minding of the flesh, then everything that comes on the world is going to come on you. Every sickness that comes on them is going to come on you. If there's a plague going through the land, you take the minding of the flesh, you take sense and reason, you get apart from the spirit and apart from the word, and I guarantee you that you're going to yield that way. You're going to consult your flesh. If you have the minding of the flesh, you're going to consult your flesh. Paul said, I conferred not with flesh. We never ask our body what it thinks. We never ask our body how it feels. We tell it what it thinks. We tell it what it feels. We rule through our spirit man. Okay? Are you with me? That is because the mind... back up here. Now, the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason, without the spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. If you take... Is that right? Mm-hmm. Read that again. Let me have that in the King James and read that again. What verse is that? That's verse 6. Let me see here. Which one's the King James? Left or right side here? I'm sorry.
That's all right.
What verse was that?
Six.
Just put your Bibles down and look at me here now. Let me read this to you. This is weird here. For to be carnally minded is what? Well, who is he writing to in the book of Romans? He's writing to Christians. He's writing to the church. He is telling us something. He is warning us of something. He is letting us know something. He's saying, Christians, saints, King James now, if you're carnally minded, then it's death to you. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Listen to it again, I amplify it. The mind of the flesh. He thinks after the flesh. He consults the flesh. He reasons after the flesh. He don't look to the Spirit to see what he has to say. He doesn't look to the Word to see what it has to say. The mind of the flesh, sense and reason without the Spirit is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin. If it's true now that there are diseases, they're saying, that are jumping off animals onto men. They're demons. Honey, they're demons that are jumping off, and because these people have no resistance to them. How many of you ever had, you walk through the woods or something, and you just happen to notice there was some poison ivy or poison oak or some kind of poison there? We have like that through the woods. You ever seen that? Any people know what I'm talking about? When I talk about poison ivy, poison oak, I don't know what y'all got over there, but you got other places. But anyhow, you walk by, and all of a sudden, you start to itch. And you get to thinking, well, you reckon, you know, that I got amongst that stuff, you know, and got around it, and I done got that stuff on me. What's the first thing I say? It's a lie from hell. I'm not going to consult my body whether it's got poison ivy or not. I'm going to tell you, you don't have a thing. Stop the itching.
That's right.
Now, if you take the minding of the flesh, you consult the flesh. And the flesh is going to tell you what you are, what you have, what you got, what you can do, what you can't do.
Amen.
But if you consult the Spirit, then you pay no attention to the flesh. And then the Spirit tells you who you are, what you have, what you can do, and tells you your authority, doesn't it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is sweet. But you just mess around with the mind of the flesh. You just mess around, and suke is so, I tell you like this, people suke out. You ought to see all the motions that I've seen around churches. Emotional religion. All right. So, if a demon jumps off of one person or from an animal onto a person, and then you see that those things are contagious, it's a lie from hell. It's only contagious if you have the mind of the flesh. Well, now, Pastor, we're going to cast a demon out of this person here. So I want everybody in the church to bow their heads, because if you don't reverence them, they're liable to jump on you. Well, they ain't going to jump on me. Say they're not going to jump on me.
They're not going to jump on me.
Glory. Amen.
What did they tell you? I'm going to jump on you. You know what I tell them? You want to know what I tell them? You don't know what I tell them.
Yeah.
I tell them, go to hell. You ain't going to jump on me.
Right back where they came from. Crazy.
Who had delivered me from the power of darkness.
Glory.
And had translated me into the kingdom of his dear son. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin. Both here, church, is he writing to the church? Is he writing to the church? So that means the curse is going to operate on you? Sickness is going to operate on you? Whatever the devil or the demons do, stealing, killing, destroying, is going to operate on you, and here you are, born again, child of God. There's a story in the Old Testament about Gideon. Gideon was part of the covenant people, right? And the Bible says that during that day, they were over hiding by in caves, living in caves, hiding behind the wine press, throwing up a little wheat and letting the wind blow out, the chaff blow out, gathering a little wheat and run back to their caves and hide from the enemy, living in the promised land. Living in the promised land. When Jesus came and took back what belonged to us and gave us more, Christians were supposed to take over this planet.
Amen.
We were supposed to take it over. And they were living in a, hiding in caves, living in the promised land. But that's the type of us today. Yeah, the promised land, you still got battles. You still got an enemy out there. In heaven, we won't have it. When they went across the Red Sea, that wasn't a type of entering heaven. That was the type of the church age. Death that comprises, I can't get off this, all the miseries arising from sin. Whatever steals, whatever kills, whatever destroys. Both here and where? You take the minding of the flesh, church, writing to the church, and it will plague you through eternity. Well, where do you suppose those people will be? In the church that chose, you know that the Bible tells us that unbelief kindled the wrath of God, didn't it? And he swore in his wrath, they will not enter his rest. We are in the rest today. We should not have to struggle. We are in the rest. We've been delivered. Every enemy has been put under our feet.
Amen.
But we got to consult with our eyes. We got to consult with our ears. We got to consult with our feelings. We got to consult with our emotions. We got to consult with our psychologists and psychoanalysts. Who can only figure out something through trial and error, and all they can do is deal with man's emotions and man's feelings. We've got feeling religion now. We've got feeling religion now. That's the minding of the flesh. Oh. But the mind of the Spirit, he's got Holy Spirit and Amplified, that should be a little less recreated human spirit, is life and soul peace. Both now and forever. Folks, we're meant to have a strong mind. A whole mind. One sanctified holy. That is because the mind of the flesh, which is carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God. It does not submit itself to God's law. And it's not going to. Indeed, it cannot. So then those that are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, and the whole decision-making process is in the soul. That's where your decision-making process comes from. That's where the power of choice is in your soul. Your spirit man's right. Your body here is not born again. He's wild. He's crazy. Your spirit man's right. Your soul unless you do something about this man here, mm-hmm. he is going to take that route over there instead of the Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
And lead you straight to hell and to pain mm-hmm. and to suffering and to sickness and to the curse. Catering to the appetites and impulses of the carnal nature cannot please, listen to this, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. Mm. We're talking about the world of the psuche, the world of the soul. Are you blessed?
Amen.
It's the truth, folks. Might as well say amen. It's true anyhow. Amen. Satan gets into the psuche and he acts like God. Man can't divide spirit from soul, so he starts looking to religion, which ends up a counterfeit. Man gets mind religion, and everybody thinks it's God. Now, how many of you heard people say, because they didn't get this from the Spirit, and they didn't get this from the Word, well, I sought God, and He chose not to heal me. There's a lady out, this happened years ago, sweet lady, I don't doubt that a bit, but she, a young girl, she was out on a deck, a little ramp to run out into the lake, and she dove off in it, and when she did, she hit bottom, hit a rock or something, and she got paralyzed from the waist down, neck down, I guess. And you see that she does artwork now, and she does it with the brush in her mouth. That's the only thing she can move, so she has to be taken care of. She's paralyzed, and now religion came and taught her that God did this to her. That it happens in this. And so through religion now, everything's God. Doesn't make any difference what anybody else says. We just figured it out. We reasoned it all out that everything is God. So this thing's from God. And then here we get over into our mind now. What do we want to do for her? We look at her. Does your heart go out to her? Huh? Do you get sympathy? Huh? Pity for them? You know sympathy and pity ain't gonna help anybody?
That's right.
That's out of your head again.
That's right.
Sympathy and pity. And so me, I look at a situation, I'm moved with compassion. That comes from my heart. But I'm not gonna get over here just in sympathy and pity and feel sorry for them all the time, because that's not gonna help them. Here's the Spirit man now. He's Spirit ruled. He's led by the pneuma of the Spirit. And he don't let emotions. See, sympathy and pity, that's just emotions. That's not going to help anybody, is it? But then, because he's establishing the Word, he knows how to help somebody. He's in the faith. Where other people will get over in emotions and things like that, and they can't help anybody at all. Doesn't help anybody. Amen. It's the truth anyhow. Sense and reason and feelings. The psuche gets no results. They end up with doctrines of suffering, man-made religions, and it ends up a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. And you make a god out of anything. You ever watch religions? They've made gods out of, well, today they're making gods out of money and calling it God. Because it's just obvious they are. Is there a God? The love of money. I've seen them make gods out of bishops. I've seen them make gods out of, it's no doubt about it. Look, they've made gods out of people like Copeland. And I respect Brother Hagin. I love Brother Hagin. I appreciate what he told me, but he's not my God. You can make a god out of making pies, I guess. Religion does all kinds of goofy things, don't it? Gods out of elders. Gods out of prophets, gods out of deacons, religious activities, even people that are Pentecostal. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, but they have no power because they're caught up in mind religion. And it's soulish, and it's a counterfeit. Amen. That's the reason soulish religion, psuche, is the reason you pray twice for the same thing. Why would you pray twice for the same thing? Because somewhere along the line, you figured out you didn't get it. And where did you get that thought from? Where did that minding come from? It certainly didn't come from God, did it? It came from the mind, and the devil's got access to your mind. And people yield to it. Amen. Paul said, I never confer with my flesh. Anybody, anytime that they say, I can't handle that, that's soulish. People's love is soulish. They'll love you until they feel like you hurt them. That's suke love. Soulish love, right? They'll love you or say they love you, and even though they've hurt you, they'll keep right on hurting you because they're loving you from their soul. Say amen. Amen. Go back here to 1 Thessalonians 5. This is good stuff. First Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you what? And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Now in the Greek text, we've got spirit, soul, and body. Pneuma is the spirit. Suke is the soul. Soma is the body. How many of you here tonight have a human? Anybody here have a human? No, you are human, aren't you? Say, I am a spirit. See, you'll never know that, though, until you get in the Bible and divide them. You won't know that you are a spirit. It sounds silly to say, well, I have a human. You are a human. Amen. Say, I'm a human.
Amen.
With the normal person, the spirit of man is something that is not real. But when you get in the Word of God, you can divide it rightly, and you'll know that it's more real than anything in the natural, and that this spirit man will live on forever. The spirit man is reborn. He has a soul. The soul of man and the spirit of man are to be in the likeness of God, not in an animal class and not in an angelic class. One of the things that makes us in the image of God or like God or in God's class is that we have the power to choose our own destiny. We decide. Now, that power of choice, we've said before, the decision-making apparatus is in our mind. You can choose to live or you can choose to die. Isn't that true? Then God said, see, I have set this day before thee life and death, blessing and cursing. What did he tell you to choose?
Life.
That comes through your soul. Okay? We can choose health or we can choose sickness. We can choose prosperity or we can choose poverty. Say amen. Amen. Paul said, I'm in a great strait betwixt twain. I have a desire to go home and be with God, which is far better, or to be with you. He said, I choose to stay because it's more needful for us, right? So the power of choice is in the mind. That's where it's given to him. Now, the soul of man includes the mind, the emotion, and the will. There is a power, and quite a bit of power has been released on the earth through the soul of man, but there's a power to the soul. We call it willpower. Why is it a person has no willpower? Why is it a person can't control themselves? If the decision-making apparatus is in the mind or the soul of man, then it's because they're weak in their soul. And I can tell you that they've not been in the Word of God. Remember, the Word is the only thing that divides spirit, soul, and body. And he said, for the Word of God is quick and what? So it produces power in the spirit. Amen? The Word produces power in the soul, the mind. And the Word produces power in the body. The physical body has a physical strength to it, don't it? Now, there are times when spiritual power comes on a physical body. We'll talk about that later in another session, but there's a physical power to everybody has in their body, a power to pick up things, a power, a strength. It can be developed, can it? Sure it can. There is power in the spirit. And the Word is spirit, so there's power in the Word. It's a sharp two-edged sword, isn't it? But there's a power that is to be developed in the will of man. People today, if you look at them, they have very little willpower. Soul power is not black power. Soul power is referring to willpower. And we develop it through the Word of God. But why is it a person can't control a habit? Why is it a person can't stop doing certain things? It's because there's a lack of soul power. Because that's where your decision-making apparatus is. You decide what you're going to do. You decide if you're going to yield to the flesh. You decide if you're going to yield to the spirit. And it all happens with this computer mind, computerized mind, where the soul is. I decide whether I'm going to sin or not. I decide whether I'm not going to sin. I decide whether I'm going to expose my mind to certain things. I decide whether I'm not going to expose my mind or my spirit to certain things. I decide what I'm going to eat. I decide what I'm not going to eat. I decide how much I'm going to eat. I decide how little I'm going to eat. All of it comes through the soul of man. And so God meant for our soul to be sanctified just like our spirit. Your spirit man is right when he's born again. He wants God. He wants everything about God. But how many know it takes time? You have to control your flesh. But the answer to the controlling is you got to do something about that soul before you can take care of that body, right? Working together in harmony, in one accord, then you'll control the body and rule over it. And then you can, by practice, train it, exercise it. Willpower, soul power, mind power, will, intellect, emotions. I decide what I'm going to do. I decide my life. I decide my destiny. That's a God-given right to everyone. That's what makes us in God's class. We choose. Animals don't choose. They can't decide their future, their eternity. I mean, they have an instinct. But when it comes right down to deciding their future, they cannot. They're led by impulses. And they're led by their body. But we should be led by our what? Spirit man, amen. No willpower means this. That there's a person... If they have no willpower, they have no control over their soul. The spirit of man has a power. It's called the force of faith. The physical body has a strength. But the soul of man has a power, and it's called willpower. Why is it Christians have very little spiritual power? Because they have very little willpower. You might as well face it. I've had to face certain things in life that if I didn't control through my soul and make the right decisions, it affected the spiritual power that I had. Mm-hmm. Amen. You cannot choose to yield your flesh and be acceptable to God. I know enough from God's word to know that if I've not been yielding to God, there have been times when I tell you the truth about it. There was a lady that came in the office one time, and she was wanting deliverance. But my conscience so convicted me over some things that I knew I was not ready. I knew I was not ready. I knew the devil would laugh at me. He knows whether we got that authority. He knows whether we're in faith or not. He knows whether we're in sin or not. Y'all out there? But if you make the right decisions, do you have to make decisions concerning your body? It takes willpower, don't it? So a person who has no willpower has no control over their soul. The mind encompasses the will. The mind controls the emotions. But emotions can be changed. I used to have certain emotions, but now I don't have them. When people are sick, emotions come up. Wish I could do something about it. Sympathy and pity. What do we need to do? That's not going to help anybody. We need to reprogram our mind. And what did I tell you about a soul that's strong? It's basically the contents of what's in that soul. What have we been putting in there? Turn to Romans 12. Look what he says to us. Verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. That's H-O-L-Y there. Acceptable, unto God. Your body's got to be acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Don't be conformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, be transformed out of what? Be transformed means you're changed. You were a certain way, and now you've transformed into something else. You're something else. Be not, and if you notice, he says, be not conformed to this world. You're transformed out of the world system. You don't think like the world system does. When you have the minding of the Spirit, then you're going to have the minding of the Word. You're going to think what the Word says about a situation. You're not going to let emotions control you. If you lose control of your emotions, you've lost control of your soul.
That's right.
And you're going to take the minding of the flesh every single time. Fear tries to grip people. The world system says this. The world system says the only way that you're ever going to get a house is go take out a loan. Right? I mean, you got to go get a loan for your house, to buy a house, right? But what does God say? Huh? God says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, I've always said this, that somebody's got to give me a house sooner or later. Because I remember when Jesus called me. Now, I was about to purchase a house, the first house that Pat and I were looking at. A little small house, but it was a starter house. And I was just fed up with renting and just paying out money. And at the end of the month, you got nothing to show for it. They could throw you out any time, right? And so we were looking at a house. And the Lord called me into the ministry, called me into full-time ministry. So I had to lay down my plans, the house, and leave, go out to Tulsa and go to school. But then I read that scripture over there in Mark 10, 29 and 30. Go look at that. Mark 10, 29 and 30. Listen here to what it says. Is this King James or New King James?
King James.
And Jesus answered and said, verily I say to you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. Now he's going to call me into the ministry. I'm about to buy my house. I've got already tentative approval from it. I know the guy that owns the house. He's a church member. And he knew that we wanted a home, and so he said, I got this starter place. That's a good place for you to get started. We went and looked at it. We liked it. And so we were going to purchase it. Man, I was just thrilled about it. And but God interrupted my plans. Remember I talked that message, pardon me while I interrupt you?
Yes.
That's the way God is. Interrupted my plans, said, I want you to go. So I left house. Not only that, I left my sisters. Not only that, I left my father. Not only that, I left my mother. Didn't leave my wife. Didn't have children at time. She was expecting. I left my homeland, and I did it for his sake and for the gospel's. You see, now they're out there teaching this hundredfold return, but most of them, they're teaching it, don't qualify for it. I qualified for it. So now, instead of having the minding of the flesh, we're saying, oh, God, you done took my house away from me. Got to go out there and start all over. Got to find a job. Got to go to school. Got to do this. Got to do that. And I'll tell you what, that's going to lead me right to the curse working on me.
Amen.
Amen. But if I take that thing and have the minding of the Spirit, which is the minding of the Word, and the Word is Spirit, isn't it? And His Word is life, isn't it? And so I'm going to think like God thinks, then I'll know. He shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Now in this time. I qualify for this. 100 houses. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. I've had plenty of that. And in the world to come, eternal life. I qualify.
Amen.
I qualify.
Hallelujah.
I qualify. Hallelujah. The world system. So what's going to happen? Well, I just stayed with God. I'm just staying with God and staying with Word. I've seen Him add these things in my life. He told me, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. The world system says you seek the things. The world system says that you've got to pay 20% interest. But God says, give and it shall be given. Give and shall. Now, the first time you heard that, I guarantee you your soul squealed.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind just flipped out. You know, what did they got that pinball machine? What does it do when you get to jerk it? You get so excited. What happened? It causes it to tilt. And so your mind just tilted. Whenever anybody talked about walking by faith and not by sight, your mind just tilted because your mind was used to being in control, and the control it had was not in control. The flesh was in control of it because it had the minding of the flesh. You either have the minding of the flesh or the minding of the Spirit. You have the minding of the devil or the minding of God. Now, here are Christians with the minding of the flesh, so they're going to end up with religion and with the counterfeit, and they're going to have all this great preaching, and they're going to explain to you why miracles are not for today, healing's passed away, and, you know, them people speaking tongues, they're of the devil. That speaking in tongues of is of the devil. Well, you're just stupid. That's right, because you can't read. You haven't read the Bible yet. The Bible doesn't say any place that anybody spoke in tongues was of the devil. Not one place in the whole New Testament does it, ever. It says when you're speaking in the tongues, you're in the Spirit. You're in the Spirit, and you're speaking mysteries, divine secrets. You're praying out the plan of your life. Glory to
Amen.
God. Then the minding of the Spirit, but the first time you heard about it, tongues. Norval Hayes said the first time he heard about it, this guy was talking about tongues. He thought, tongues? Tongues. He said, that guy got two tongues in his mouth or something? He didn't, that's how stupid he was. He didn't know. Religion's a counterfeit.
Amen.
So, I do have a house paid for.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
It is nice not to have to make monthly payments.
Amen.
Amen. And why? So him and others can get it when I'm gone. Yeah. But, you know, praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's the minding of the flesh that has caused all this sin to work on us.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that arises from the penalties of sin is worked on the body of Christ, because of the minding of the flesh. Why is it a person won't get up out of bed? The minding of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The minding of the Spirit says you are healed. But you see, you so get your mind renewed, you'd what? You get the garbage in, out. And you put in the Word of God. You replace it. You get that reprobate mind out of there. Some people are turned over to the reprobate mind. Their minds are far gone. God can't get to them. That's right. Look, I don't know whether you know or not, and I don't know whether you've been where I've been and sat where I sat and drank what I drank and smoked what I smoked and did what I did with whoever I did it with. Listen, I had a reprobate mind. I was sin looking for a place. You come to God.
Amen.
Your spirit wants to do right. And that war is going on. And every time this preacher preaches something, you go tilt, you flip out. But now you've reprogrammed your mind that when anybody speaks unbelief, you tilt.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
When they talk, I'm sick, I'm poor, I don't know, y'all pray me, I don't know if I'll be able to make it or not. You just flip out, man. It just blows your mind, don't it? I've told him, son, the story so many times. When Doug asked you that day out there, you know, I've been not been feeling good, and he asked you, you know what I mean? And you told him, no, I don't know what you mean. I never will forget that day. He said, no, Doug, I don't know what you mean. I don't know what it's like to have a day where I didn't feel good.
Amen. Amen.
Because he's raised up in that other area. We raised up. I tried to raise them all up in the minding of the Spirit. Did I get anything across tonight?
Yeah.
Soul power. Controlling your emotions. Controlling your mind. Controlling it. Willpower. The only way you're going to get willpower is in this word.
Amen.
You do what? It's simple. Willpower comes simply by doing what? Garbage in, garbage out. Word in, garbage out. It's like, okay, you got a bottle and you got water in it. You start pouring oil in it. Where's the oil going to go? One's going to displace the other. Because they don't mix, do they? That's the whole secret behind an offset press. You know what an offset press is? It's water and oil. Ink and oil. The water goes one place, the ink goes the other place. Certain places the water won't go, the ink goes. Certain places where the ink won't go, the water goes. And that's how you come up with this page printed here. It was printed with an offset press. All right? But we take our mind and we keep pouring in the oil of God's Word. We keep pouring that Word in there. Keep pouring that Word in there. After a while, we get all the garbage out. We have reprogrammed the mind. We've reprogrammed the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And automatically, with it comes willpower. Will power. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So it produces power in the soul, don't it?
Amen.
And what's the power of the soul? Will power. You got control over your emotions. Patsy came home, all emotional. The doctor had told her this. But I had read some word, and I had a little knowledge, and I did not side in with her emotions. I told her, shut up. I said, shut up. You unbelieving thing, you. I've been listening to enough Copeland to get dangerous. Just make you dangerous. You're dangerous, everybody. They look at you. See, she's tilting out at me, and I'm tilting out at her. She flipped out one way and I flipped out the other way. And I said, now listen, woman, you sit down here and be quiet. Now this is what I said, sit down here, we're going to agree right here according to the Bible. I mean, I just heard him teach this stuff. Just in time.
Amen.
Just in time to get rid of that cancer right inside of her.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody say soul power.
Soul power.
I got soul power.
I got willpower.
I got willpower. I'm strong in my spirit. With the force of faith. I'm strong in my body with physical strength. And I'm strong in my soul with willpower. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just keep pumping healing inside your soul. Keep pumping healing inside of that. Amen. After a while, you accept it all. And then you won't be tilting out. Can you say amen? Oh, well, that's good. Praise the Lord. This is good teaching, isn't it?
Amen.
So, if we feel like we're weak in the area, we just get in the Word, pump it in there. Take out all that reprobate stuff right out of there, put the Word of God in there. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody happy?
Amen.
All right, next Wednesday night, don't forget. Next Tuesday.